Okay, a little bit of truth telling now, your truth. How much homework would you do if there weren't a test? Thank you for your honesty. If there weren't grades in school, would you work as hard on your education as you do now? Most students would admit that that test, that grade is motivation. Motivating you to work a little harder, study a little more, take it a little more seriously, stay engaged. Most of you would agree it's an important part of formal education. I know that when I work out at the gym on my own, there's one ethic. And when I'm accountable to a class or to a coach or something, there's another ethic. You know what I mean? Most of us would say we love our freedom, it's just the responsibility that we don't like so much. When you read the front of the bulletin, isn't that an amazing picture that we found in Yemen, an island off of Yemen of those trees? When you hear again Jesus' words, even the church secretary this week said, "Whoa, that's a little harsh, isn't it? You mean there's going to be a test?" Jesus' words, I'm convinced, aren't meant to scare or cause anxiety or discourage. His words are meant to motivate. I think this parable is nothing short than a call to action. He wants the folks that hear it to say, "Wow, the time for me to act and respond is now." That positive response helps us hear not the bad news of judgment and an axe, but the good news that there is time for a response that will please God. There is time. There is time to turn from the wrong and to the right, from a bad direction or a bad situation, and make those changes to get going on a better path. It's an invitation. It's an opportunity. I think it's an expectation on the part of the gardener that changes can be made to make things better. The good news this morning is it is not too late. It's not too late to learn from your failures. It's not too late to reflect on where you have been as you think about where would be a better place to be tomorrow. There was an anxious seminary student, you know, a type A kind who did everything right. And he noticed his classmates weren't quite as motivated. And so he went to a dean and he told on him. He said, "Dean, I just want you to know that outside of class, there's a whole group of guys that are in school here. And they get together at night. They don't say their prayers. They're playing poker." And the dean said, "Well, consider this. Those young men right now," this was a Catholic school, "those young men right now are learning how to focus their attention on an activity that's profitable. And not only that, it's an activity that's keeping them awake. Just think what'll happen when they transfer that love to the life of prayer." "Cut that tree down," the landowner says. "It's just wasting soil." The gardener says, "No, give it one more year. I know it hasn't done a darn thing in 3 years, but let me work on it. Let me dig around it so the waters can find its roots. Let me put some manure on it. Let me tend to it. I'm good at this. I think that tree, in fact, I'm sure that tree can produce. One more year." "Okay, but it better work. Professor, beginning of class, papers are due, 10-page papers in history. Professor says, turn them in, pass them forward." And the students pass them forward, and they go to the desk, and they lay them down, and then she lectures. At the end of the lecture, she says, "One announcement here is you break for the weekend. You're all invited to take those papers home. You can work on them for one more week till next Friday's class. If you think that a little more time will help you improve those papers, feel free to do so. If you're happy how they are right now, just leave them on the desk." And after she finished up with the whiteboard and she got her briefcase and went, she looked at the desk and her plan worked. There was not one paper left. Everybody said, "I can do a little better." You see, if the tree were only given more time, that's not enough. That gives 365 more days before the axe. But the tree gets more time and the gardener. The gardener who is going to work some change into the tree. The gardener is the difference maker, the agent of change and transformation. The gardener knows how to take a fruitless tree and turn it into an abundant harvest. You see, the landowner seems to have given up in this story because the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. I've seen what that tree has done. It's taking more than it's giving, and I don't want that in my vineyard. The gardener says, I can work a transformation. I can put my labor, my sweat, my know-how. I can bring blessings to this tree so that this tree will give more than it takes. The landowner is not sure, but the gardener is sure this tree has a bright future in the orchard. How much I like that phrase that says the best place for the gospel seed to grow is in the loving, encouraging, faithful soils of a congregation. We don't know what the future holds for those kids in the robes today, but they are blessed by the good soils and the love and the support and the care and the prayers of God's people. It takes a village, so surround yourself with those who see the best in you and call forth the best in you. I've been around the block 54 years. For me, the congregation is the best place where that happens. Do you know the T-shirt? Be patient. God isn't done with me yet. We are all works in progress. We are not yet as we could be or will be or should be, but God's grace is at work in us, teaching, equipping, inspiring, guiding, correcting, calling forth from us as our God's people our best potential. I can relate to Peter, who protested and said, you know, Jesus, you're asking too much of us. We're only human beings, and your ways are not our ways, and we are just not able to accomplish all that you expect of us. And Jesus said, you're absolutely right. For mortals, what I'm asking is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. There do you see the work of the gardener.